Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Jubilant Ingrevia's Q1 FY 2027 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pavleen Taneja, Head of Investor Relations at Jubilant Ingrevia Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rayo. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining the quarter one of FY 2027 earnings conference call of Jubilant Ingrevia Limited. I would like to remind you that some of the statements made on the call today could be forward-looking in nature, and a detailed disclaimer in this regard has been included in the press release and results presentation that has been shared on our website. On the call today, we have Mr. Shyam Bhartia, Chairman, Mr. Deepak Jain, CEO and Managing Director, and Mr. Varun Gupta, CFO, Jubilant Ingrevia Limited. I now invite Mr. Shyam Bhartia to share his comments.
Thank you, Pavleen. A very good evening to all of you. We are pleased to report a strong start to FY 2027, delivering healthy financial performance in the first quarter. Revenue grew by 25% year-on-year, while EBITDA increased by 36% year-on-year, reflecting the strength of our business model and disciplined execution across operations. Now let me take you through an update on the markets we operate in. Despite continued geopolitical uncertainties in the Middle East, demand across chemical industry has remained resilient. Industry volumes have stayed stable. While pricing has shown a firming trend in the recent weeks, driven by improving consumption dynamics across key customer segments. Pharmaceuticals continued to be a key growth driver for the company, supported by volume growth and sustained demand across markets. We witnessed a stable momentum in the agrochemicals during the quarter, with demand trends showing encouraging signs of recovery across key segments. Healthy export visibility and improving market dynamics have supported recent price increases. The nutrition and personal care market witnessed healthy growth during the quarter, led by higher realizations for niacinamide and choline. At the same time, volumes remained resilient across end-use segments, underscoring stable market demand. We are also seeing a strong traction with customers in electronics semicon segment who are keen to partner with us for integrated opportunities. Now let me share a few details on our future outlook. We are encouraged by the progress of our pinnacle journey, which is increasingly reflected in our performance through strong revenue and EBITDA growth and a stronger opportunity pipeline. Supported by sustained volume growth and a firmer pricing, we remain confident of continuing our growth momentum. FY 2027, we expect growth to be led by specialty chemicals and nutrition, alongside a recovery in acetyls. We anticipate sequential improvement in revenue and EBITDA over the coming quarters. The new multipurpose plant remains on track for commissioning by the end of current calendar year, further strengthening of our CDMO and fine chemicals growth roadmap. With this, I hand over to Deepak. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bhartia. A very good evening to everyone. We appreciate your participation in the Q1 FY27 investor call. During the quarter, we continued to advance our strategic priorities while effectively navigating global challenges. Despite disruptions in the Middle East affecting global supply chains and price dynamics, our diversified sourcing capabilities, customer relationships, and operational agility enabled strong business performance and effective cost pass-throughs. The strength of our agile operations and execution capabilities during this challenging period is clearly reflected in our strong Q1 performance. Let me share the overall business update for Q1 FY27 first. Q1 marked a strong start to the year, with revenue reaching a 15-quarter high of 1,300 crore, up 25% year-on-year, driven by healthy volume growth and improved realizations. EBITDA increased to 209 crore, growing 36% year-on-year and 22% sequentially, while PAT stood at 106 crore, up 41% year-on-year and 22% quarter-on-quarter. In our specialty chemicals business, we delivered revenue of 533 crore, up 11% year-on-year and 3% sequentially, supported by steady business volumes and robust growth in fine chemicals and CDMO businesses. EBITDA stood at 139 crore with margins of 26%, benefiting from improved pricing and a richer product mix led by value-added CDMO and fine chemicals offerings. Our pyridine and picolines business delivered steady volumes during the quarter. Despite some pricing pressure in pyridine, cost optimization initiatives helped sustain a healthy performance. Our fine chemicals business delivered strong momentum during the quarter. Pyridine and diketene derivatives recorded healthy volume growth with improved pricing. In personal care, we now have over 20 products under development and we are seeing increasing traction across key personal care segments. In industrials, we continue to strengthen volumes with existing customers while expanding our new customer pipeline. Our CDMO business continued to gain momentum during the quarter. The agro segment benefited from the rollout of big innovator CDMO volumes, while pharma saw strong customer traction and a more than threefold expansion in the pipeline following our US and Europe roadshow. In semiconductors and electronics, we are building a dedicated R&D and clean room facility at our Greater Noida facility, and we are seeing encouraging growth in our opportunity funnel. Our CDMO and fine chemicals pipeline continued to show good momentum. We have a funnel of 100 plus molecules with 3,500 plus crore of peak revenue potential, with now 25 plus confirmed molecules which will drive our growth in coming years. We added 5 new molecules in the last quarter across pharma, semicon and pharmaceutical. In our nutrition and health segment, the nutrition segment continued its strong momentum with revenue growing to 243 crore, up 36% year-on-year and 6% quarter-on-quarter. We achieved the highest EBITDA in the segment over the last 3 years at 36 crore, reflecting a 45% year-on-year and 12% sequential increase, while margins improved to 15%. In human nutrition, niacinamide volumes grew steadily, supported by strong pricing across food and cosmetic applications. Choline chloride and CBT pricing also improved on the back of strong customer engagement across key global markets. In premixes, we strengthened our presence with Tier 1 customers in India following the successful integration of Remedix. Our animal nutrition business delivered a strong performance supported by significant pricing improvements. Vitamin B3 volumes remain stable, while pricing improved substantially on both year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter basis. In choline, we maintained our domestic market position and continued to witness healthy demand from Europe alongside improved customer realizations. The premixes business also performed well with volume growth and a favorable product mix driving margin expansion. In chemical intermediates business, it saw a strong rebound in Q1 on the back of robust demand and price escalations. Revenue in the segment grew to 524 crore, up 38% year-on-year and 21% quarter-on-quarter, driven by strong volume growth and improved realizations, supported by higher input cost pass-throughs. EBITDA for the segment stood at 57 crore, up 240% year-on-year and 163% quarter-on-quarter, driven by strong realization gains across the product portfolio and effective cost pass-through. Let me also share a few other critical updates. On the operations and ESG front, we remain firmly on track, targeting 100 crore of lean savings in FY 2027. We are progressing well on our new MPP plant and advancing our Supernova program with new GenAI use cases. We successfully cleared over 20 customer quality and EHS audits during the quarter and maintained an exemplary safety record across our manufacturing facilities. From an awards and recognition perspective, we achieved several notable milestones during the quarter. We were certified as a Great Place to Work and ranked among the top 50 manufacturing companies for FY 2027. On the safety front, our Gajraula facility earned a distinction at the British Safety Council International Safety Awards, while our Bharuch and Nira sites were also recognized at the same prestigious platform. On the M&A front, we successfully completed the integration of Remedix Pharma, and we are witnessing encouraging traction from tier 1 human nutrition customers. We are also actively evaluating new growth opportunities across high potential segments such as electronics, semiconductors, cosmetics, and nutrition. We also hosted a highly interactive investor and analyst day at our Bharuch facility, showcasing our operational strength, pipeline visibility, and growth aspirations. Feedback from the investment community was very encouraging, with the visit reinforcing confidence in our manufacturing capabilities, operational excellence, and expansion potential. Investors also gained deeper conviction in our CDMO growth story, supported by a robust opportunity pipeline and strong commercial traction. With a strong start to FY 2027, we are increasingly confident that our Pinnacle strategy is delivering results. We believe this will be a pivotal year in our journey, providing strong platform to accelerate growth and create greater value in the quarters ahead. We'll now be happy to address any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from Siddharth Gadekar from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. The first question is on the CDMO contract. Can you give us some sense on what was the contribution on the last CDMO contract this quarter? If the utilization was lower, was the plant reporting an EBITDA loss this quarter?
Siddharth, I think we shared some light on that at the plant visit also a couple of weeks back. The plant has been running absolutely smoothly. We started the supplies in March, and we continued through Q1, a significant bump in EBITDA of our specialty chemical business is reflected on the back of those volumes. We did not serve the full volumes last quarter, as the innovator had confirmed, because in between, the raw material prices had escalated due to war, and the innovator asked us to take a temporary pause till pricing came down. That was the only challenge by and large, except for some small challenges on the operational front. We did make good positive EBITDA on it, which is reflected in the Q1 numbers.
Okay. How should we think about the full year EBITDA on this contract if the entire volume do not come?
As communicated earlier also, we have certain EBITDA expectations on this contract, which I have announced to the markets in the past and on analyst calls in the past as well. We maintain that expectation. We, of course, are in discussions with the innovator on the volume visibility for coming quarters. They are building their scenarios, as I explained a couple of weeks back as well. They have not finalized, and hence, I cannot provide any further visibility. In the unforeseen circumstances of they not giving us any volume, we have full protection, which will more than cover for whatever EBITDA expectations we have communicated to the markets.
Secondly, in terms of, we have made a comment on the presentation that we will see sequential growth in the coming quarters. Can you highlight what are the drivers for that growth? Secondly, how should one think about the Astec spreads in 2Q versus 1Q?
The If you see our business, and I think this is not different from what we have been communicating in our Pinnacle strategy, the growth drivers in the business are coming from our fine chemicals business, CDMO business, and nutrition business. All three businesses are showing sequential growth in terms of volume as well as portfolio expansion, as our pipeline also shows. At the same time, the new plant on niacinamide that we created, we are filling up the capacity very fast. You can see the growth numbers in that business. A lot of it is driven by volume. And we expect to continue to continue on that journey. The plant is already reaching almost 50% plus volumes versus what we had envisaged. And we are hoping in coming quarters, we will be able to take it to the 70% of the peak volumes very soon. So all three businesses are expected to continue to grow in coming quarters. And hence, we are hopeful that and all three are high margin businesses. So that will give a very strong lift in the positive direction to our EBITDA. On top of that, acetyls as or chemical intermediates, as you saw in Q1, has done well, and we are seeing that business continue to do well in current quarter as well, especially on the back of the recent escalations in oil price and the raw material prices. So if that continues, then we should maintain a sequential improvement in EBITDA coming quarters.
So just last question on the CDMO funnel. Last quarter we had indicated we had 20 projects with a potential of around 1500 crores peak revenue. That number has increased to 25 projects. Can you give us the peak revenue number for this incremental for the total peak revenue from the CDMO contracts?
Yeah, I think so. That is a good and valid observation. I think we explained 5 new molecules which we have added. Most of them come from pharma or personal care segment and are early stage, and hence right now it is difficult to comment on the peak potential of those new molecules, and hence we have not updated that 1500 crore number. Obviously there will be upside coming from them, and as and when we get visibility from our customers on what kind of peak revenue potential exists in them, we will add it, we'll add to the confirmed revenue potential. But those are good early stage molecules, and will obviously take some time to get further visibility on what their peak potential could look like.
Okay, so that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from Abhijit Akela from KIE. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you so much, and congrats on much improved numbers. First question is just actually a follow-up on the previous one. So this 1500 crore order book, would it be possible to just break out by end-use industry what the rough mix is? That was one. And second, when we talk about pharma or personal care, given that these are early stage molecules, and as you mentioned, it's difficult to quantify the opportunity there, how exactly have we arrived at the peak order value for these? Is it, based on some firm contract from the customer, or how do we think about it? Because it's difficult to quantify, just the requirements at early stages.
Okay. Abhijit, I think, and this question came, I think, in the last call as well, and I explained that this pipeline, not all molecules in this pipeline are backed up by a multi-year or annual contract. This is based on very customized set of discussions with the customers where they needed some molecules, and we had those chemistries, and we created those molecules and started the commercial supplies to them. So we start counting them as confirmed molecules as and when customers start taking first commercial volumes from us, even if it is small quantity. That is point number one. Point number two is in most of those molecules, customers have given us at least some visibility on what their peak volumes would look like in 2 or 3 or 4 years from now. So we have taken assumptions based on that, on what it means for our volumes and our revenues. Number three, a couple of these molecules are very big and are backed up with contracts, including the big CDMO agro molecule that we talked about in response to first question. So obviously all of that is included in this 1500 crore plus of potential. Four, as I have explained in the past also, if you look at our business mix, We have about 20-25% agro, about 30% pharma, about 10-15% industrial, 15% nutrition, and 10% consumer. The broad mix of these molecules as well as broader pipeline also is reflecting that, because when we started this exercise 2 years back and we met customers across all segments. Of course, the traction is higher in some, lower in some, like agro right now is going through downturn. We do have molecules, of course, the two contracts which we have already announced to the markets, plus a few more. But the speed at which we are moving in agro is relatively slow versus if I compare it with personal care or pharma pipeline, because those segments are still holding up in the market while agro is recovering gradually and will hopefully start to bounce back in coming quarters. Hopefully I answered your question, Abhijit.
Yeah, thank you. That's helpful. And the second one I just had was, we've done 209 crores of EBITDA this quarter, and we are talking about sequential growth through the rest of this year. And in the context of that, is there any possibility you might want to upgrade your full year guidance of 750 to 800 crores? What do you see upside to that? And just from the standpoint of the segmental drivers, would it be possible to comment on how much of this increase year on year would be driven by spec chems and nutrition versus chemical intermediates?
Abhijit, Varun here. Regarding your first point, whether we want to upgrade our guidance, we like to stick with the same guidance of 750 to 800. Sequential growth will be there. It will be in the similar range of what we have indicated when we met in the Bharuch a month back, of roughly 200 crores kind of an EBITDA, and the first half will be around 400 plus. And in terms of the mix, bulk of our EBITDA and revenue growth will be done through specialty and nutrition, which has been continuing in the range of 70 to 80% of our EBITDA mix total. So if you do the math, 20% of total, 15% of total EBITDA for the quarter or for the year, it will be acetyls or chemical intermediates will be coming in the similar range of 100 odd crores. The rest all will be through specialty and nutrition.
Yeah, Abhijit, I think I'll just add one point to what Varun said. The reason we feel hopeful about sequential growth despite the guidance we have given is because we see acetyl doing well and continue to do well in this quarter as well. And on the back of some of the orders we have booked with the customers, we are hopeful that if they materialize in time, we can hopefully beat the target that we have set for ourselves. So that is why there is optimism that we should be able to sequentially. But given the volatility which exists in the market, particularly on the SPL segment, we never know what happens in Q4. Right? So the fundamentals are strong, which make us believe that sequentially will improve. But obviously, there's always a risk if the markets go down again in Q4, then they're pushing downside as well. So that's why we maintain overall guidance at the levels we discussed in the room.
Got it. Great. Thank you. Just the last one from my side. I'll step back in the queue after that. Just in terms of the order book and its materialization into revenues, we are aware of the large agro contract, of course, so that's one. But then what about the rest of the portfolio? How much of contribution to revenues could that have in this year? And second, from the standpoint of the agro contract itself, should we expect the full annual run rate to be visible this year itself, or should we wait for that for another year or so?
See, I think based on our earlier calculations and assuming we get full revenue from the big contract as per the agreement with the customer, the confirmed molecules were supposed to contribute at least 25% of our specialty and nutrition portfolio together here. Now, obviously, we don't have the visibility on the volumes from big contract. Depending on where it lands, at least in revenue terms, there could be some adjustment, but in EBITDA terms, we should still be able to maintain what we have committed, as I explained in response to the first question.
Okay, Okay, got it. Thank you so much. I will come back in the queue for any more.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Nitesh Dhoot from Anand Rathi Institutional Equity. Please go ahead.
Good evening, team. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question is on the specialty chemical segment numbers that we see. So the sequential increase there is only about 17 crores in sequential revenue increase, and there is no change in EBITDA if we look at the previous quarter. So taking sequential numbers as our new plant got commercialized towards the end of the last quarter. So would that imply that the segment X of the agro CDMO contract would have seen some revenue decline and any pricing or margin pressures there, or was the CDMO revenue looking CDMO revenue lower than expected there? So could just clarify.
Yeah, so I think the question is valid, and one thing to note is Q4 is always a heavy quarter for us because of the year end. And what also happens is the customers also slow down their purchase Q3 because that's year end for them. They don't want to increase their inventory. So naturally, in Q4, we get benefit from that. So I think from Q4 to Q1, sequential trajectory is not the true reflector of what is happening in the business. Secondly, of course, given the nature of our business, particularly on the FC side and CDMO side, fine chemicals and CDMO side, there are always some orders which can get pushed off by one quarter here and there, which I have explained in the past also, which may bring in some skill. So just keep these two factors in mind. But coming back to the specifics of your question, as you rightly said, the business has grown. The CDMO business has also grown, particularly on the back of the big order. And as I explained in response to one of the questions, we haven't served the full volume in Q1 because customers asked us to delay some of that to Q2 because of the price escalation from the raw material side, which hits them than us, because we have to we pass it on to them. So we took some hold there. On rest of the business, the operating business is pretty stable in terms of volume because it's a mature business. There was some pressure on pyridine pricing, which might have offset some part of the growth. The fine chemical business also is going strong in terms of both volume as well as holding up on the pricing. But because Q4 is a peak year for fine chemicals, again, when you compare Q1 to Q4, you will not see that sequential growth. It's a combination of factors in our portfolio between CDMO business growing, fine chemicals coming out of a strong base quarter, and pyridine stable but some price decline. All those forces put together is essentially what is leading to the kind of 17% growth that we talked about. The more, I think, right way of doing it is to compare it versus last year, where versus last year we have increased by almost 11% on specialty on a like-to-like basis, and a significant portion of that growth has come from our fine chemical and CDMO.
Sure, sir. Just one on the confirmed molecule, pipeline, the count, it has further climbed up to, 225. That's, roughly 5 per quarter, over the last couple of quarters. But the advanced stage bucket,
sorry, your voice is muffled. We can't hear you clearly.
Hello?
Yeah.
Is it any better?
Yeah, please go ahead now.
Sure. So I was just checking on the confirmed molecule count, that has climbed up steadily in the last couple of quarters, 5 every quarter to 25 now. But the advanced stage, the advanced stage bucket, that seems to be, static at around 10 molecules, for 2 straight quarters. So, any color that you would want, to give there?
Well, Nitesh, you answered the question yourself. The confirmed moving means advance is also moving, right? If it is remaining at 10. So those 10 molecules at advances are not the same molecules which were 3 months back, because some of them have moved to confirmed part of the pipeline, and some from rest of the pipeline had moved to the advanced stage pipeline. So the whole funnel is moving. Even the 100+ molecules that we have mentioned even for this quarter, not the same 100 molecules which we might have explained or announced two quarters back, because the fact is some of them drop, some new opportunities come. Our funnel at the top part of it is also improving. I just came back from U.S. last week, met seven customers. On the back of that itself, there are at least 10 new opportunities we have now, which is not even reflected in the numbers we announced from the last quarter. So it's a moving funnel. Obviously, at the same time, there's some molecules, customers' plans are changing, so they come back and say that we want to put it on back burner. So it's a very dynamic pipeline. Each number, whether the top of the funnel of 100+ molecules or the confirmed molecules or advanced stage, all three, the composition is changing every month, I would say, not just quarter.
Right, sir. And just one on the nutrition side, if I can squeeze in. So, last quarter, I think, you had announced that Q1 benefits from the inventory, were expected to fade from Q2 onwards. So, does that still hold? Have you started seeing any reversal on those benefits, or we, still expect some of these gains to sustain there on the pricing side? And, would want to know the capacity utilization at our human-grade, plant there, and what kind of annual EBITDA to expect from the nutrition segment overall for FY 2027.
Yeah. So I think I did mention that remark last call that because the raw material prices were increasing mid-May when we last spoke on this call, so there was this risk of we ending up with high raw material inventory and pricing of finished good crashing. The good news is, number one, we were very careful in building up the stock of high raw material inventory. So we were very thoughtful and careful. Number two, the prices of finished good, while they came down from the peak a little bit, they did not come down as much. And particularly in our specialty CDMO segment and nutrition segment, we have been able to keep the pricing where they were in Q1. And number three, which in general is not a good news, but because the war restarted, the finished good prices have all started to move up again in certain segments. So because of these three factors, we feel the impact coming from any inventory being carried over from Q1 to Q2 will be very minimal on the business. And hence, to Varun's earlier point, we feel confident about the numbers and the guidance we have given for Q2. To your second part, I think I already answered on the nutrition plant. That plant was created for 5,000 tons annual capacity. As we speak, they are already serving volumes of niacin and niacinamide cosmetic grade, which are the two products for which that plant was created. Which are at a 50% of that run rate, and we are hoping to take it up to 70% plus by end of this year.
Sure. So thanks a lot. Thank you so much, and all the best for the coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Archit Joshi from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. A slight clarification from the presentation. I was reading that B3 volumes, we have mentioned it to be steady, and we have sort of said that the improvement in the quarterly results has come in because of pricing, and at the same time, we have written that strong volumes in niacinamide. So I just wanted to understand what would be the quarterly performance of human animal nutrition business be. And is the pricing sustained in this current environment? And if we can see this 28-odd crore EBIT number being sustainable for the rest of the financial year, that would be my first one.
So, Archit, I think the volumes have increased. They grew steadily. Maybe the English here is confusing. So, but the volumes of B3 at the overall segment level have increased, and obviously the high-value segment that we have started to serve through the niacin and niacinamide cosmetic grade from the new plant, that is also increasing. So I think the English might have confused, but they just explained in response to the previous question, the 1 in 7 increased. The second question is about the pricing of B3. Obviously, that is a very volatile territory in the past, historically. What we have seen is when prices move up, they stay up for at least 2 to 3 quarters at a time. So prices were up in Q1 and we have a little bit of spillover effect coming into Q2 as well. There is a possibility that prices may start to come down by end of Q2 based on historical trend. The good thing for us is because the relative mix of high value-add products on the food grade, pharma grade and cosmetic grade is increasing, the pricing, even if it comes down, hopefully it should not impact us significantly. Secondly, at the same time, we have been continuously working on the cost improvement for that product to ensure we can protect our margin. So if we are able to do that, both of those things, depending on where the pricing is towards the end of Q2, Q2 we feel comfortable because a lot of booking for Q2 we have already done. That will, if at all pricing comes down, it will have some impact on the Q3 pricing, which we will see. But as I said, we have already done some mitigation actions, which should hopefully help us in protecting the margins of that.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thanks for answering. The second one on, if you can give some update on the pricing of base pyridines and how are we fared in the pyridine derivatives and how do we sort of look at it for the rest of the 9 months? Growth driver.
Yeah, so pyridine, as you all know, we are world leader in pyridine and its derivatives. So we are running our plant currently also at 95% plus utilization level. So we have a strong momentum on the volume side, both on pyridine and its derivatives. The pricing depends on which derivative you're talking about in pyridine. We do almost 60 plus products. In most of them, we have leadership position and we are holding up on the pricing as well. There are some commoditized variants of pyridine, including the building block itself. The pricing pressure is more acute there because of the overcapacity in China, but because increasingly our focus is more on either pyridine downstream, more advanced derivatives, or the picoline part of it where the pricing is holding up. So we are able to manage that business in a fairly steady manner.
So one follow-up on the same one. To what extent have we internalized the base pyridines for captive use? I'm sure the ratio was significantly higher towards base pyridines. I think you had indicated that also in the few con calls in the past. And right now, how much are we captively consuming and what would be the external sales of base pyridines? That would be my last one. Thank you.
Yeah, we never disclose those numbers specifically, Archit, so I won't be able to give those numbers. But what is more important is that percentage of captive usage is increasing year on year, especially a lot of picoline, beta picoline particularly goes into B3 requirement. And like I explained in earlier responses to the questions, the B3 volumes are growing substantially for us, which automatically means a lot of beta picoline is getting used. So the percentage of captive usage is definitely increasing for picoline, as well as in our pyridine business we are doing and adding new derivatives, and we are signing new CDMO contracts for pyridine. So in general, our relative share of captive consumption on the whole pyridine and picoline family is increasing, and it is significant.
Sure, sir. That's helpful. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from Harsh Shah from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So you have just mentioned that we did not supply much of the large CDMO contract for this quarter due to the hike in the raw material prices. But can you indicate what about the present quarter? Are we supplying all the volumes more for this quarter for the particular CDMO contract?
Yes, Harsh. The volumes in this quarter will be more than the previous quarter.
All right. So my second question is, last year you have indicated that you have won more than around 15 molecules. And you have said that it takes generally 3 years to reach the peak potential from those molecules. And few of those molecules will be reaching the second year in this financial year. So can we expect a ramp up in those molecules in this year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are molecules where we were doing volumes and we are already getting indication from the customers that they will be giving higher volumes to us. Obviously, there's a lead time to all of it. We announced our pipeline first time, I think last year, probably October. So as we get into the negotiations as well as discussions with the customers, generally most Western customers give us volume indications by August, September, and then confirmation by October for the following year. So there are at least a few molecules where I know the volumes will be higher in second year versus what they were in the first year.
All right. So my final question would be, despite the massive investment that we have done in renewables and green energies, but our power and fuel expenses have gone sharply for this quarter, and also other expenses have also gone up. Could you explain the nature of these costs, sir, and can we expect the power and fuel expenses to go down from here onwards?
I have Varun here. So yes, in this quarter, the power and fuel expenses have gone up on account of two reasons. One, first reason is year on year, our volumes have increased, and so has the quantity of power and fuel. Second, because of this Gulf crisis, the high cost of LSHS or the natural gas has also gone up, which has led to the increase in the cost of power, which is fuel, which is reflected in the our P&L. In terms of the other expenses which you see in the P&L, bulk of the increase is due to the logistic cost, where we have been hit by the increase in the cost of logistics, both domestic and international, which is reflected there, which we were able to successfully pass on to our customers, as is reflected in our increase in pricing.
So one last question from myself. Sir, has the large CDMO contract customer, has they given us any timeline by which they will be providing us the full volume visibility?
We have been in constant discussions with them. I think it's, as you know, the market is dynamic, and obviously they are also listed. I'm sure all of you are tracking them as well. As and when they have the visibility, they will provide us. Unfortunately, they have not given us a firm timeline, but in order to plan for Q3, we will need some clarity from them within next month or so. So we are hopeful we'll get more visibility at least about next quarter by next month.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Rohit Nagraj from 361 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good quarter. So first question on the specialty chemicals front, we have given in our press release that there has been volume jump as well as pricing increase. So in terms of 11% top line growth on a YOY basis, what would be the volume and value breakup, given that the EBITDA increase is limited to 7%, so there could be some cost inflation transfer? Thank you.
Yeah, Rohit, we don't give the breakup of volume and price, but it is driven by both, because as I explained earlier, our CDMO business has grown versus last quarter in terms of volumes. Our pre-din volumes are holding up at least at a steady level. Fine chemical volumes have also grown. So there's a reasonably strong growth on the volume front. The other thing which is changing in specialty is the mix of the business, which is also giving high-priced products that also adds to the overall growth. And then, of course, there's some contribution coming from pricing growth. So it's a mixed bag. It's a healthy growth on volume supported by some price escalation. And obviously, the volume mix, which is being taken in a certain direction by China.
Sure, that's helpful. Second question on the chemical intermediates front. Now, if you look at YoY basis of the consolidated EBITDA delta of about 56 crores, almost 40 crores is contributed from chemical segment, the intermediate segment. What gives us confidence that this particular performance will continue in Q2 and thereafter? And a light question to that, were there any inventory gains during the quarter gone by? Thank you.
Yeah, Rohit, so see, that's why we have a portfolio of businesses. Now, if you pick one business and say whether we are confident that every quarter it will start increasing, that becomes slightly tricky because of what I explained earlier, that every business has its own nuances and drivers. Sometimes one order moving from one quarter to other can reflect differently on the growth trajectory of the business. But I think if you see as a portfolio, 3 years back, we were giving 100 crores EBITDA in a quarter, and now we are at 209. So what is more important is there is a steady growth over the last 3 years. Now, in some quarters, some business fires and some business doesn't fire because of specific factors which are outside of control. But as a portfolio, I think that is why we feel more confident in giving the guidance on the overall business. And you can analyze the last 12 quarter results. There will be quarters when specialty chemicals have fired, there will be quarters when nutrition has fired, and there will be quarters when chemical intermediate has fired, like the current one. But as a combination, we feel good about the portfolio, and put together, we feel confident that we will deliver on the numbers we have committed.
Perfect. That's helpful. So just one last clarification. In terms of the large CDMO contract where the revenues of $300 million spanned over 5 years, is there any take-or-pay commitment? And if initially, for whatever reasons, if the commitment is lower, can that contract get extended beyond 5 years to fulfill the entire $300 million? Thank you.
Yeah, no, so Rohit, we have clarified it multiple times in the past and on this call also, probably you were not part of this call earlier. Yes, we have full protection.
Perfect. That's helpful. Thanks a lot and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Kiran Gadge from Nightstone Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sorry. My question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management team for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining this call today. We hope we have been able to answer all your queries. For further clarification, I would request you to get in touch with me. Thank you once again for your interest in Jubilant Ingrevia Limited.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Jubilant Ingrevia Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.